You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Veronica Burian. Now we are talking.
Guten Abend. Jetzt gibt es Type Radio.
How long have you been doing this now?
We are asking the question.
You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're at the European Design Awards in Rotterdam. It's May 29th, 2010, and our guest is Veronica Burian. Welcome.
Thank you.
Are you religious?
No. Religious, you're asking? Yeah. No, I would say I'm an atheist.
And was that a conscious decision, or?
I guess, I mean, I'm my parents being kind of traditionalists, not religious, but still tradition. So they how do you call it? A baby is being
baptized,
exactly. But that was about it. I didn't have to go to any kind of religious courses or anything like that. And my parents were never part of the religious community, like paying, mainly because you had to pay. And I just think religion should be abolished. It's nothing than problems, but I'm not talking about spirituality. Spirituality is for me something very different. That's something that humans need, that's something that we kind of crave, but not religion. Religion is just, it's like a political system, you could say. It's oppressive, basically, trying to tell you what to do, and I don't like that.
You're from Prague, right?
Yeah,
were you born in Prague?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What street? What time?
Street? I don't know. I don't remember even the hospital.
Do you have rituals?
Yeah. Well, like everybody, I guess, has rituals. Definitely, the first thing in the morning, I have my kefir with fruit and coffee, espresso, coffee. That's like, without that, is no start. Otherwise, I don't know, I would try to avoid rituals, you know, like this every day you do this and that and at a certain time. With work, I possibly somebody else, you know, would say, okay, she always does this and that, but I wouldn't say it myself.
And in your work, do you have like certain ways of starting your job or?
Yeah, there usually I like to design a typeface for a certain purpose. So if it's our own retail fund, then we come up with a specific idea or purpose or something that we either is missing in our portfolio. So we limit ourselves to some degree. I like that, yeah. Because otherwise you can start creating something, and then in German it's this vom Hundertsten zum Tausendsten, so you go from something and then it becomes this huge thing and you never really end up with anything. It only, you lose your way. So I like that. But then I get distracted also, you know, with emails and some admin stuff, and so it's often quite a ping pong thing day through for me. Although in the morning I started to do emails, just doing a few hours emails, dealing with that, and then kind of switching off that and doing actual work, but doesn't always work.
And I mean, you are a rare specimen. No,
a species.
Rare species. I mean, how were you initially? Why did you become a type designer? I mean, that is quite a...
Yeah, well, I studied product design, industrial design, but even
in Prague.
No, that was in Munich. And even there, I always kind of tended more towards interface design or some graphic stuff, and somehow this whole technical engineering part of product design just my thing. Mainly because my bad 3D vision, I don't have a very good 3D vision. You know, like imagining how objects actually fit together. And then I went to Milan to work in a studio, and there the kind of the reality of product design caught up with me. Meaning that you don't really have time to explore, you don't really have time to come up with very innovative ideas, usually because of the client, or there's not enough money, or anything like that. So there as well, I drifted more and more into graphic design, without really knowing that much about typography, I must say. But through a friend who was, who still is, a type geek, he's a total type maniac, he introduced me to typography, to Bringhurst. He told me, okay, this is the typography Bible, you know, start reading that. So I did on the bus every morning, you know, and underlining stuff. And it was like opening a new world that was, for me. It was, it attracted me perhaps because it is creative, but not in a crazy way, not in this kind of arty way. Yeah, I always felt creative, but not as an artist. It is rational, and I am very rational. So those are perhaps things that attracted me there, and it was like falling in love, you know? So it really was for me this wow, okay, this is something I really like. I'm good at it. I felt I have some confidence. And then through my then boyfriend, I discovered this course in Reading, which was a master in type design, purely type design. And I wanted to leave working for a while, and I wanted to go back studying, and that seemed like a perfect thing to do. And that was a life-changing year, let's say. Yeah, so that's how I ended up in type design.
Wow, I mean, but do you see any similarities between then product design and type design, or you think it's just...
In a way, yeah, I guess. Perhaps through this notion of you design for a function. Well, ideally, I mean, a lot of the product design, it's just rubbish. And that's why I actually also kind of lost interest in it. I didn't want to produce even more consumer goods, which nobody needs, which is just producing too much rubbish. But there's this still ideal of, okay, you create an interface between the human and the machine in product design. But in this case, okay, it would be the communication, the information. And make it workable, make it pleasant, and make it workable. So I guess that's my connection to it. And also being rational or systematic. You have to be quite systematic in type design to endure, you know, yeah. to kind Which of persevere. Yeah. To persevere.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that also probably the reason why there's so little female type designers?
Possibly, yeah. Although the new classes in Reading and Den Haag, there are a lot of women in there now. Also because the industry is changing, so it's not the very kind of industrial style. No, it hasn't been since 20, 30 years anymore. It's more open to women now, much more open. And I guess young girls are not that afraid of technology. I don't know.
Who are your heroes in type design?
My heroes? I guess when I studied in Reading, I discovered these two Czech designers. I take it like that. I was on this route of rediscovering my roots, if you want, yeah, like my Czech roots, and I came across these books, and I didn't know that they were Czech, but they attracted me. It was beautiful work. It was quite unusual, particularly Preissig, Wojciech Preissig. He was doing a lot of stuff in Linocut, so they were very expressive, extremely expressive things. But what was fascinating that they worked in small print, you know, they worked in text. And that was something that I found very interesting, and that truly influenced me. And then, of course, Ulrich Menhardt, another great designer from, you know, I mean, this is like from the beginning of the 20th century, 2030s, who actually in the Czech Republic, all the designers, they hate him, because in the 50s he became a bit too much communist, and that's quite horrible stuff. But before that, he did some very beautiful typefaces. And so those were my main influences in Reading. I think by now I moved away, but they taught me in a way to look, to be expressive, and to look into calligraphy as a base, but not in a sense of Hermann Zapf or, I don't know, like actual calligraphy, more about trying to figure out and learn how the shapes of letters come about, and then you can experiment. Once you understand where the shapes are coming from, with the broad nib pen and how they are drawn, then you can go away, forget it, and do something. Yeah. But it will have an energy, and that's what I like. I like having or doing typefaces that have some kind of energy in them.
And do your typefaces have a specific Czech quality about them, or are you aware of that, or you just don't?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I guess you would have to ask somebody else.
But can you, for example, you see a difference, like you say, oh, that's American or that's Dutch in that
right
sense?
Yeah, well, perhaps Czech design is quite expressive in a way, quite spiky. I don't know, possibly due because we use so many accents. But I in my own work with Jose, my partner, business partner, he's from Argentina, so, you know, we have these two kind of influences, the spiky and the round, or something, I don't know. We don't really tend to think about nationalities. That's not our thing. It's about communication, and we really focus on text, typography, on legibility, on we don't do crazy display stuff. There's a lot of that around. We kind of went into more editorial text typography, where you need perseverance. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long process to...
Well, a few months, yeah. Although, usually our own funds, it takes us like a year or two. Just because, you know, there are other projects around, or we have to attend to other things, and it's just kind of on and off. Which I think is good, because you start with a new idea, and then you work on that really quite solid, let's say for 2 weeks. And then something else comes up and you forget it, and for a month or two. And then you look at it again and you see, ooh, really? Ooh, oh gosh, okay, so I need to change this. And it does that. So your eye basically refreshes, and that's a good thing.
How do you name your fonts?
Haha. Well, so far there have been more or less just girls' names. And that came through... Well, my first typeface was called Maiola, which has a female tone to it, but it's actually named after a pass in Switzerland and Italy, after a mountain pass. And Jose's was Athelas, which also sort of has some kind of female thing. And then we had this Carmina, which is our first font together. And then we kind of continued in this tradition, and we look up baby names web pages. But we agreed now on that we should have not only girls' names, but that can be both. So it's kind of, you know, to be politically correct or something. But not boys' names yet. We might have at some point boys' names, I don't know. But they have usually a very nice tone, you know, kind of a tone to it, a sound, a nice... So that's important, I think. A lot of people, they go according to the font name, you know. When they hear some, they like the name, they might like the typeface, although otherwise they wouldn't. Yeah. I don't know.
Has there any font change its name to become more famous, sort of like an actor or, you know?
Well, I know for fonts that have been forced to change due to legal
reasons, yeah,
because somebody
said,
you know, that's my sort of name and you can't use it. But I don't know, because of fame, you know.
Quite funny.
You've won a Golden medal here at the European Design Awards. Yeah. For what typeface was that?
For Adele, our latest creation. Yeah.
And when did that come out?
That was last year. Yeah. It's a family of 12 styles. 12 ways, no, 12 styles. And it's kind of a interpretation of a slab serif, I would say, but not in a kind of traditional Egyptian kind of way, because we do tend to, as I said, to design for text, so for small print really, and often for like kind of newsprint or magazines. I mean, this is not something that would be used in a newspaper, but although as a headline perhaps, I don't know. So that's why we always try to create a typeface that will work in that environment, and therefore some of the features in Adele are how they are because of that, and not in the traditional sense of an Egyptian. Also, because I do like reinterpretations. I'm not somebody who would do a revival. I tried it. I immediately start to do kind of my own thing.
You make it your own thing.
Yeah, I immediately do that. Some people are really good in that, and I appreciate it, that because some typefaces really, they deserve to be digitized and deserve to be kind of preserved, if you want. Others don't. But it's just not my thing.
Most hated typeface?
Oh gosh, no, I don't know. No, I'm not going to get into that.
And you're not allowed to say Comic Sans.
Favorite?
Actually, I worked with Vince Conner in Dalton Mark. Yeah.
That seems to be staying a topic, you know, on the typographer's list. I mean, it's every conference it's mentioned 3 or 4 times at least.
And one which you wish that you had designed? One.
Just one.
Okay, favorite now, on the top of the list.
You know, I was never good in these kind of making the top lists out of my head.
Okay, favorite letter.
I'm sorry.
Favorite letter that you like to design?
I like the A. And I like the S. Yeah, lowercase. A and S. Yeah, I would say the A. I guess because it's very complex and it kind of gives the most personality into a typeface. And S, everybody hates the S, but I like it. It's very sensual, very beautiful.
Very girly.
Very girly.
All right, last question.
Yeah.
How would you like to be remembered?
As a good person? No, as somebody who... Do you mean as like personal or in a professional way, whatever
you
way?
You pick.
Somebody who tried to do good for this world and try to keep a low environmental profile. Yeah, and as a good communicator, something like that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.